Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McGinniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of possibly the greatest podcast in the history of human beings, the Caregiver's Toolbox. And my name is Ryan McGinniff, and I am the owner of Minute Women Home Care, as well as the host of this show. The Caregiver's Toolbox is here to give you information and education about senior care topics. And we have a great guest today. I am joined by Rachel Cochran, who owns COTA Travel out of Massachusetts. Rachel, thank you so much for being here with me. And how is everything going in your neck of the woods, being south of me by like 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes?
Things are good. Thank you, Ryan. I'm really excited to be here with you. And I am Rachel Corcoran. COTA stands for Certified Occupational Therapy Assistant. I've been in the occupational therapy profession since 1995 and worked mostly in nursing homes, except for there was a 13-year period in my life where I owned a home daycare and raised 54 kids. So now my focus is to improve quality of life through travel and leisure activities for elders and people with disability. Working in a nursing home really opened my eyes to the amount of quality that people lack sometimes and how easy it is really to improve that for them, given the right circumstances.
Well, that's a great introduction, and my apologies for butchering your name. It's Corcoran, not Cochran. My apologies, but that is what it is. And so, just to let people know, if they listen to the whole podcast and they love what they're hearing, how do people reach out to you? And of course, all this information will be in the show notes as well. But just for now, how do people reach you? Whether it's via email, whether it's via your website, your phone number, or all three.
Sure. My phone number is 781-975-4286. Phone calls are always welcome. Leave a message if I can't answer. The website is cota.travel, COTA.travel. And there's an info@cota.travel for email. We also have a contact page, cota.to.
Perfect. So reach out to Rachel, and I'm sure she'll be able to help you if you need services. And your services go beyond Massachusetts. You can help anybody in the country, depending on what they're looking for, correct?
Yes. So if a client wants to go meet up with a family at a family reunion somewhere in another state or another part of the world, I can meet them wherever they live. Help them pack, help them plan, get it all ready and going, and then transport and also provide care throughout the whole trip. Sometimes we start trips with just the client in mind. So if we need to find an Airbnb that is accessible for the client, I'll help with that process as well.
Perfect. So obviously, if listeners haven't figured it out, you help people with traveling, you help people with transportation. So What is kind of the overview? How do you, with your elevator pitch on how you explain what you do, and how did you get into doing this type of business? How did that kind of avenue happen?
So for me, it's definitely about improving quality of life through leisure and travel. As an occupational therapist, we do focus on leisure activities to improve quality of life in general, and then travel because of our ability to assist with mobility. Travel can be assistance in and out of a car, or whether we need a wheelchair van or special flight, you know, all of that can be factored in. So we, you know, really take the skills of a clinician and improve people's quality of life by allowing them to participate in family events, weddings, graduations, birthdays, even just meeting up with family or going to stay with family for a weekend, coming out of a nursing home or out of a rehab or a private home, assisted living, any of these environments, people sometimes want to be able to be independent of their family and their services by hiring me to assist them in every way to make their trip accessible, happy, safe, and they feel confident doing that.
And I mean, I think that's a great service. And for those that are wondering, you know, we met Maybe it was a year ago when you were getting into doing this. And I do home care. And so some people might say, well, what's the difference between what you do and I do? And while there might be some overlap in which we might help somebody with, in some cases, go to a wedding, we've done that before, but it's really generally already existing clients that are going to be using our services. And again, we're not looking to do more than an overnight or maybe two nights where we're helping somebody out. And that would be more of a live-in situation. Well, if somebody doesn't necessarily have home care or they don't need home care, but they need some assistance, you're the perfect option. And I look at it as while there's a little bit of overlap on what we do, there's far more of an area in which we can refer to one another than there is competition on that. And that's why I was excited to meet you, because we do get people that say, hey, listen, can I need help and I'm going down to visit family in New York for a week. What do I do? And in some cases, even if I want to do that work, the caregiver might not want to go down to New York City for a week because they have other responsibilities. And that's where I can make referrals over to you and help you out. So certainly home care can definitely complement what you do and vice versa. Because I think there are a lot of people, especially in this world, that like my parents live down in Florida now, or my dad does. You know, I was living out in Colorado, and more people are more spread out, which I'm sure is one of the things that you've seen.
Absolutely. And another thing that we like to do is use the business as a platform to really encourage seniors to live their best life. You know, that they might feel like they can't, or they are too scared, or they're not able to, you know, do the things that they really want to do. And I'm here to tell them they can. They just might need to accept a little bit of help.
Absolutely. And so tell me a little bit about your background. What led to you getting involved in this, and how did that come about?
Sure. So I mentioned I had a home daycare so I was an occupational therapy assistant prior to doing the daycare. And then when I got out of daycare, I had let my OT license go. So I needed to restudy for my exam, which was a big deal. And I took a summer off. I did some personal care work. And this couple that hired me, it was a 85-year-old man taking care of his 82-year-old wife with Parkinson's, and they needed a little extra help. So I was there 4 mornings a week, helping with showers and self-care and cooking and activities. I brought her out shopping and did different things. And the husband would get brochures for river cruises. And I would say to myself, oh boy, I could really, you know, help them do that. There's no reason why I can't take care of her there the same way I take care of her here. So that was about 8 years ago at this point. And after, you know, obviously I wasn't in a position in my life at the time to really pursue that. So then I started working in nursing homes, and I really, you know, was having a tough time with not being able to really provide the amount of care that I wanted to for people to improve their quality. I wanted to be able to give a little foot massage. I wanted to be able to cut and clean their nails. I wanted to be able to, you know, bring in activities for us to do because I know that they would enjoy it. And these were not things that I was allowed to do as a contract therapist in a nursing home. So in this past year, I started really thinking about how I can use my skills to improve people's lives. And this is what I came up with. So Coda Travel is definitely a company from the heart. I really want to just be able to help people live their best life, and despite the circumstances or situations that they might have.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, how do I say this delicately? COVID has been the on a business level, on the side of speaking specifically about business, it has been good for home-based agencies like myself and yourself, where people are trying to stay home because less people are wanting to go into assisted livings and nursing homes. That's just kind of the reality that we're in right now. That might change in the future, but you know, as people are more independent, they want to stay in their home more, and as families are more spread out, or even if they aren't as spread out, they may have multiple children, they may have a career that prevents them from being able to go on these trips or these cruises. And that's where I think you're really going to be able to help out. One area that I was wondering, and more of a general broad question, is I would think that widowers and widows might be very interested in having you come along, not only for the help that you can provide, but for the companionship. I mean, who wants to go on a cruise with somebody? Who wants to go on a cruise by themselves? You know, who wants to go see the country or the world completely alone? Some people might be willing to do that, but it might be more enjoyable to do it with somebody that you enjoy spending time with as well, right? So I would imagine that might be an area that people are giving you calls about.
Absolutely. And I am a fun person. I really enjoy life myself. And I think every opportunity should be taken to build relationships and have fun with other people. So I definitely think I'm a good candidate to be a companion on a trip, because of my ability to manage situations in a calm and professional way, but then also know how to have a good time.
And so one of the things that I would imagine would happen is that people likely aren't going to jump in the deep end of the pool and say, hey, Rachel, I just saw Coda Travel online. Let's go on a 1 month around the world vacation, right? Because if you don't get along with the person, or you think that Rachel isn't qualified to be doing what she's doing, that's a long time to be with somebody that happens. Is there an onboarding process in the sense of somebody starts using you a little bit and then it grows and then it grows and it grows as that trust grows? How does that work? And how do people kind of vet somebody like yourself to understand, hey, is this the right person for me or the right service for me?
Sure. Locally, I love to meet with clients ahead of time before starting a relationship with them, and then deciding, you know, what the hourly rate will be or the daily rate, depending on what we're looking at. People's situations are all very different, depending on the amount of assistance required and the, you know, services required, the prices can reflect that. So I think that using Zoom is very helpful for people that aren't in my immediate area. You know, we could set up times to chat, but ideally I do like to meet a client one way or another prior to doing any trips. And then, yes, I would recommend using me on a short-term basis, whether it be to take you to lunch or to do a weekend in the mountains or whatever it might be, to first decide if we would be a good match.
And I kind of ask that question in the perspective of the person hiring you, but it's a two-way street. I mean, Absolutely. You want to make sure that you're working with somebody that you can get along with and relate with, and you don't have to be the best friends in the world, but you don't want to find out somebody is mean or abusive when you're in the middle of a trip or something like that. And so it's certainly a two-way street to make sure that it's a right match. Is there, speaking of which, if you find somebody's not a right match for you, certainly in home care, we know of other home care agencies. If we can't provide the services or it's not a good fit, is there a large network of people that are like you in Coda that are able to do this? Or is this something relatively somewhat new in terms of having these types of travel companions outside of calling a home care agency and seeing? I mean, your dedication is for generally traveling as a whole, and the day trip stuff is more to get to know somebody, it sounds like. That sounds relatively new to me, or has that been around for a long time?
So it is a relatively new concept, but also I just want to point out, we don't do just travel. We also offer skilled companionship as occupational therapy and physical therapy for professionals. We have the ability to really get to know clients and know what's going to improve their quality of life, whether it be in the house or in the community. We can do, you know, a lot of good for people in the instance of just being in their own house and going after some of their own goals, creating those goals with people, and then also helping them fulfill them. And, you know, that might be going through all my clothes. You know, I might have a client that says to me, I have so many clothes and I love to shop. I want you to take me shopping, but first we have to go through all my clothes. That's fun. That would be productive for the client and, you know, definitely improve their quality of life. So, you know, another thing that I want to point out, because it's really a great use of our service, is discharges from either rehab or acute care, because we can provide the transportation also the liaison services so that the family or the client knows what their discharge information really is. And then also assess the home when we first get there and see if there's any equipment needs, if there's anything they need at the pharmacy or the supermarket, and really help on that transitional day, because VNA or home care usually doesn't start for at least 24 hours. So when we get in there with the client that day, we can set them up for success until the VNA gets there.
And that's a good point. And right now, I think it's a little bit longer than 24 hours with the staffing challenges that people are facing. But we do get calls. And again, this is where the overlap, I look at it as a good thing, because we are non-medical. We can give some advice. We can give some, like, hey, listen, it certainly would be better, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, if your mom had a hospital bed rather than a queen size bed, because we need to maneuver her and change. And she's right now bed bound because she broke her hip. That's obviously recommendations that we can make. But, you know, again, there's a limit to the recommendations that we can make. And most of them are going to be hospital beds. We would really like to have a shower chair. We would really like to have grab bars. I mean, for somebody that's experienced as you are, while these are good recommendations, they are just the tip of the iceberg of some of the things that somebody might need. And we aren't trained in that. And that's not our job. Our job is ADLs, non-medical home care. And having somebody that can help with that transition is huge. And one of the things we always say to people is it's better to get a lot of care in the beginning and not need it than have a little bit of care and then realize you need it. Think of it as insurance. You can always taper down after a week or two, but at the same time, having a second pair of eyes that's trained, that's able to provide hands-on care and work with a home care company to provide an assessment of somebody is going to be a big help for these families, because they, for the most part, don't know what they're getting into, and they don't know what the difference is between what home care does and what PT and OT and VNA or somebody like you might be able to help out with. And I think that's a big challenge a lot of people face when mom's discharging home for the first time from a rehab or a hospital.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you're going to be able to help with certainly some home care tasks without a doubt, but you can't do 24 hours a day. You can't do necessarily these large swaths of time because you're only one person. And where you really can help is trying to get somebody back on the mend and in the best place possible for when home care does come in. Am I understanding that correctly in that kind of analysis?
Yes, absolutely. But I also want to point out, too, that I do have two other clinicians on staff. So we have an array of skills and also personalities. So depending on how, the client, I would always be the first face for the client. But depending on their needs and their location and, a whole bunch of other factors, it may be shared upon with another clinician, the case.
And you mentioned that in our last networking meeting, but that is relatively new for me to know about, because when we last spoke, which was a while ago, you were solo. So it proves the point that people are needing these services and you're able to grow and be able to provide that. In the local area, I know you're more south than I am, where Lexington is. Where is your base of operation or your catchment area specifically kind of for what we're talking about now with helping people get back home? And it's certainly super local compared to the travel companion, but what's that catchment area right now for you?
Sure. Really anywhere in Massachusetts. One of my girls is in Plymouth, Mass. Another is in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I'm in Stoughton. So we cover a pretty good amount of area, but we also will go anywhere. So anywhere beyond a half hour from home base, we'll start charging our hourly and mileage.
Gotcha. And that's good to know, because you've got the triangle there so that everybody can get the North Shore, the South Shore, and kind of the Metro West area. So that's certainly a good thing to know. With going back to some of the traveling, because I think that's interesting, what are some examples? Where have you gone so far? What have you done? And maybe some small, medium, and large size trips to give people a visual representation of what you've done in the past.
Sure. One of my earliest trips that I ever did before I even really started this company was assisting my mother-in-law to Morocco. And that was really, really great. We had a wonderful time, but she definitely needed, she was mobile, but she needed somebody to help kind of keep her organized and enjoying herself and not getting too worried. A calm approach was definitely a good thing for her. And then also just, you know, supportive and guiding over, you know, uneven ground and sidewalks and things like that. So that was my biggest trip where I helped somebody. I recently, this is, I think, a beautiful story. There's a man living in the VA in Augusta, Maine, and his daughter was getting married in another town about an hour and a half away from where he lives. And I spoke with the rehab team that week. The family wanted to hire me to bring him to the wedding. We arranged everything from his medication to the, you know, amount of care that he'll need. And I picked him up. I brought him to the wedding. We got there. I changed him. I toileted him, gave him all his meds. He then walked his daughter down the aisle. We had some food and he was ready to go. And we left, and the family was so happy that one, they didn't have to worry about how he was going to get there, how long he wanted to stay, attending to him while he was there. But he was able to be the center of the wedding with his daughter. And it really was beautiful and priceless for them, I think.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, you know, people sometimes know, and a lot of times they don't know, but they know, they can see when somebody's declining, right? And they may say, hey, listen, there's a good chance this is the last wedding or the last Christmas or the last, you know, holiday. Like, for example, on a personal story, my dad had spinal stenosis and it was very bad. And his baseline changed. And so the trips that we thought we were going to have plenty of time to take, he's no longer comfortable taking those trips. And he's basically relegated himself to about an hour and a half maximum around his town in Florida when we were hoping to do some bigger and better things. And so my point being is you never know, or sometimes you can see, but you never know when that last big trip is going to be. And so if you're able to take that trip or to have that event and have somebody show up with the help of you, that is a big deal to families, because especially nowadays in the COVID world where we realize that, you know, it's been banging on the door that life is finite. You never know what's going to happen. Pandemics do occur and people can get sick and pass away unexpectedly. That's a big thing for families to make sure that there's one last picture or one last event that they can have mom, dad, aunts, uncles, grandparents do and Absolutely. Be able to see that. And the same for the grandparents, right? That might be the last time they get to see their granddaughter or grandson be baptized, for example, or whatever religious ceremony is important to families. That's a really big deal. And that's where you can help out.
I came up with the equation that life is just a collection of experiences. There's going to be good ones and there's going to be bad ones in every life. But the more good experiences we create for ourselves, the better life is overall. And, you know, I like to promote also to the hospice world, because it is, you know, important to take that last trip or to see that grandchild for the last time. People, you know, can pass and transition a lot more easily and comfortably if they've met some of those goals. And I really like to help people be able to fulfill that.
And so one of the things that I did an interview, a podcast with a woman named Carol Merrick. Apparently I'm not great with last names, so my apologies but what she did, and we had known each other for a number of years via emailing and things like that, was she has a group on Facebook that you might be interested in knowing more about called Solo Aging. And it's a community of 65 and older, or maybe it's 50, 60 and older people that are solo aging. They never had kids, their families live away, or maybe even if they live 10 miles away, they're still solo aging because they're mainly on their own. And the reason I bring that up is when I did that interview with her and I looked at her Facebook group and saw that there were a lot of people in that group, it was kind of the proof is in the pudding kind of scenario of like, this is real. this is happening far more often than maybe we realize. There are a lot of people that are aging on their own, and it is only going to continue to grow because more and more people are having less kids, or their kids are moving across the country and they're going to be on their own for a lot of their golden years. And it's just one of those things that for maybe people that are listening and say, hey, well, who's going to need that service, or when am I ever going to need that? Well, you'll be surprised, because there are a lot of people that are on their own. And, you know, that's a situation that is fast becoming a cause for concern, or it's the demographic that is growing, that people are going to be alone as they age. And that's where both your services, the local service and the longer range service, we'll say the traveling side of things, are going to be really useful for families.
Yes. And I truly believe that one of the key points to aging successfully is having relationships. And if the people are aging solo, it's very important for them to either join the Council on Aging or Senior Center, or build, you know, get into some sort of group, or create a relationship with someone like me. It's important. Relationships are really what drive us and keep us happy.
And so, kind of in wrapping up, but one thing I think is important is, how does somebody vet you? How does somebody kind of, you know, how do we know? I mean, certainly we talked about getting to know the person, but like, you know, is there anything that you suggest, whether it's with you or somebody else, that somebody says, hey, here are two or three things that you should be asking, or a couple of things you should be requiring, whether that's a background check, insurance, ask these questions. What should people that are like, huh, Rachel's making some good points, how do I start this process? What would you say to that question?
Sure. Well, definitely it's important to know that I am insured. I think that, and we use a contract. It's something that I think is important, so that everybody knows up front what the expectations are. And if expectations change, that's okay. We can always accommodate for that. But those initial conversations are really important. And we will, I think it's, you know, the fact that I have as much experience as I do. Also, the other clinicians that work for me, they have more than 5 years experience. And any clinician that works for me will always have at least 5 years experience. I think it's important that people have the background in rehab facilities before they go out and transport people in the community. It's a very independent job. I work independently. I don't have a team around me. So I need to make sure that me and my other associates are confident and trained and skilled, so that safety is always the first priority. In terms of, you know, definitely background checks are good to do on people. And, you know, maybe just even looking through, you know, social media and seeing what kind of person they are.
That makes sense, right? Yeah, that's a good example. I mean, I've always felt like the background checks are certainly important, but, you know, just because somebody has a bad history doesn't make them a bad person, and somebody has a good history doesn't automatically make them a good person, right? So, you know, but if you're working for 5 years or 10 years in the nursing home industry, they're doing background checks, and it's safe to assume that they have a clean history. But what your points are really important with insurance is certainly going to be a really big deal. And this shouldn't be something that's done on a whim. And like you said, having a contract and an actual document that lines explains what services are and what they're going to cost is going to be important for both parties, so there's no confusion on what's going on and how that works. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
We also are dementia care certified, and I think that's very important as well, because we need to know, you know, how to interact with clients and help families. I've been asked to possibly go on a cruise with a sister and a brother. The brother has dementia, and she wants to be able to take him and have a good time, but she doesn't want to have to worry about losing him and, you know, his anxiety level and all of that. So to have somebody who's skilled and trained and experienced in dealing with dementia in an unfamiliar environment for the client, I think is very important.
Well, that leads me to another question, which is the beautiful thing of these podcasts. We just go down a rabbit hole. We've been talking mainly about seniors, and that makes sense because we work with seniors and we do work with seniors, but seniors aren't the only people that need assistance. And that makes me think of, you were talking about dementia. What about somebody that's on the younger side? Whether it's early onset dementia, maybe it's a child that has some type of disability, and maybe a family member say, hey, listen, we want to go on this cruise and we're always going to be caregivers to our child, and that's not going to change, but it would be nice if we had 30% of the time or 50% of the time to not have to worry about little Billy and the issues that he has, because we need a break too. Is that something that you would be entertaining or be willing to do? Is that something you've done in the past?
Yes. So, I will not, my passion is with the elderly, geriatrics, but most of my experience is with neurological disorders. So I do have a handful of clients with traumatic brain injuries that I do community reentry activities with. And it's very helpful to the person, because even with a head injury, you still have the ability to reconnect some of those pathways, and you won't have that unless you have new experiences and really, you know, work with somebody to improve your skills. And so any neurological disorder, but specifically traumatic brain injury, I've had a lot of experience with. And absolutely, children, teenagers, I have experience with them all. It's just my passion is with the geriatric community, because I feel like this is the opportunity where they're really supposed to be having fun. Retirement is supposed to be a great time of life, and not everybody takes advantage of that.
Certainly. But it's just something that, you know, I've been asked myself, where people call up and say, it's all jokes about seniors on your website. Do you help out with X, Y, and Z? And it's important to know what your passion is, and if that's specific. But if there are ways you can help other people, it's good to have that out there as well. And of course, like anything, they can give you a call and always ask, and you can let them know what you can do and what you can't do. You know, we can wrap it up here, but is there anything else that you want to mention or say and let people know out there about your services or what your industry does?
Just one more thing. I do want to point out that as an occupational therapy professional, problem solving is right up my alley. Every situation, every problem has a solution. We just have to work to find it sometimes. And so if a family or a potential client is just wondering, I wonder if this is possible, or could this, you know, there's no way that could happen, but I would love to see it happen. Those are the types of calls that I love to take and really try to delve in with a family and figure out, can we make this dream happen? Can we fulfill this request? So problem solving is a lot of fun for me.
Excellent. Well, I think that's important to point out, because maybe families think that something's impossible when they just don't have the knowledge and the experience to realize that it's not only not impossible, but it's very possible with the right expertise. So I think that's a very good point. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. If you are interested in Rachel's services, please reach out. Again, the contact information is down in the show notes, whether it's YouTube, whether it's a podcast. Click on her website link for Coda Travel and give her a call. Give Rachel a call to find out more information. Rachel, again, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving me and others your knowledge and expertise. It's been great.
Ryan, thank you so much. I really appreciate the ability to inform people that this resource is available.
Absolutely. And that's the part of that part of the show. And that's what the outro is for. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening. We love this being a passion project to help educate and give you information. And we will catch you on the next one. Have a great day.